guys. Welcome to In Totality, a place where we celebrate authenticity and openness. We're here for those who are willing to explore, those who embrace imperfections, and for those with open hearts and minds. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you, and while I can't predict every twist and turn, I'm certain that God will be by our side with every step of obedience. Welcome to In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley. Are officially tuned into the In Totality podcast with Megan Ashley. I'm Megan Ashley. I'm still trying to get used to having, what is it, like a stage name? Welcome. I'm really excited to start this journey. I am probably the most nervous I probably have ever been to do anything. If you have at all been following this journey with me, you know that I have been very, very, very against putting myself out there in the public or, you know, any of that. So doing this podcast is a bit scary, but I believe that God has given me the ability to share my journey and my experience and it actually impact other people's lives. And so I think that that's a positive thing, and I want to continue to, you know, serve in that way. I know that it is, you know, change is difficult. It's difficult for everyone. Pivoting isn't always the easiest thing to do. We're all creatures of habit, and change is hard. I know that there are so many of you that have so many questions, and, you know, maybe you want more details about how we ended up here, how I ended up here. And I think that over time, God will reveal it. Over time, I think that what's most important is to continue the journey, continue to have hard conversations, continue to heal, continue to evolve, continue to grow. Nothing changes in that. And it just looks different. I don't know why that's going to make me cry. No, fine. But for the both of them, you know, not everyone can be with you in the wilderness season. Not everyone can see you in the wilderness. It's very hard to see people in that space, you know? And the fact that God was so kind to send them at a time that was pivotal, never repay. There's a certain presence just doesn't have a price. And I can't express that enough. Just being there for someone. That's not good. Doing something, but just your presence. Sometimes people don't need you to fix anything. They just need you to sit with them, you know? And I have learned that this season, the power of presence. In a way where I think I only knew it by doing it, and I actually got to experience it for the first time, authentically. It hit home when you said, like, being inspired is something that you want to do, and being called to something 9 times out of 10, probably 10 times out of 10. I wouldn't even give it 9. I would give it 10 times out of 10. When God calls you to do something, you just don't want to do it.
Right.
Like this space and season that I'm in right now, I relate to that, like being reluctant. I feel very out of my element and I don't want to do it. Like if, you know what I mean? Like I'm honored to, but I don't want to do it because I understand the responsibility. I understand the weight that can carry, and it's even it offered the opportunity for me to think that it was going to be heavier. But I think that in that moment of like, dang, man, like, God, I don't want to do this because it's going to be da 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 da. And then I'm going to have to do this. And then I'm going to have to do that. And me. And he's like, I didn't ask you to carry it on your own, nor am I asking you to be dependent on your own. And I think that that's the thing. Like, when he calls you to something, it's because he wants to carry it for you, mm-hmm. with you.
Right.
Fight for you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He wants to do the work. And right. not put it all on you to do, because yeah. we can't do it on our right. own.
He gives you the strength.
Yeah.
Gives you the wisdom.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's like we called into places where if we went alone, it would destroy mm-hmm. us. But mm-hmm. when you go with him, because every day I'm shocked. I'm like, wow, this yeah. is crazy.
Yeah.
Even like when you're talking, you're giving a speech or you're doing something, you just can feel when you call to it,
yeah,
it's different.
Yeah.
And it's scary. And I think that's why the adversary brings people to muddy the waters. Mm. So it's like they'll see God calling somebody to something, and then there will always be people who come and try to change the message mm-hmm. and distort the truth. Mm-hmm. But it's really just like a decoy.
Yeah.
And so that's what made me like give up on it. Mm. I was like, Lord, I can't do this, because now you got clowns in the space. Now you got people who they're not going to live it behind closed doors. Mm. Like, they're not trying to go find their wife and consecrate their spirit, crucify their flesh and be faithful. But yet they're giving all this advice. So it's getting muddy, because people are coming and saying, hey, Tony, you said this, but such and such said that. And but I'm like, such and such is not married. And so the message is going to be different.
So you feel like it's important for people who give relationship advice that they need to be married?
It's not necessarily that you have to be married. Mm-hmm. It's just you have to angle where you're speaking from.
Yes.
So if you are single and happy, you are, and you're a coach, you're a singles coach. Mm-hmm. You're not a relationship coach. Mm-hmm. If you are divorced, mm-hmm. you're teaching this is what makes it go wrong. Mm-hmm. But you can't fully say this is what will make it work until you go implement that. Mm-hmm. So when you go implement it and it works, now you have a testament to say, hey, this works. Mm-hmm. But see, right now we live in a society where people don't want to be held accountable.
It was a DM, and a girl was basically just like, I've never believed in your God. Like, we believe in something totally different. And the way you guys talk about him, it makes me interested to know him.
I think I'm learning to I've never been a boundaries person, but my experience in relationship right now with boundaries is that I know my capacity, and I let God set my boundaries. And the reason why I say it in that way is because, and I saw this on some reel, and I was like, this is a good way to look at it. And these are for people who, it's not maybe for everybody, but if you're spirit-led and you have a relationship with God, this would be helpful for you. But they were like, I can set boundaries, right? Say I'm setting a boundary, I'm not getting on the phone after 10 o'clock. That is my boundary. If you don't allow God to still work in your life and still have the Holy Spirit lead you, you will allow your boundary to override the Spirit. So say I'm not answering the phone after 10 o'clock, but say the Holy Spirit leads somebody to call you at 10:05 and you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you didn't answer the phone. But so you know your capacity, but then let the Holy Spirit set your boundaries. Let the Holy Spirit tell you, don't do that. I know my capacity. I know I can hold myself accountable to my capacity. You can't do more than 4 social events. That's your capacity, babe. You gonna max out on that. You know what? We all know ourselves if we're really honest with ourselves.
Like, basically, like when Jesus came and started his ministry, he started it and spoke in parables. And basically, he was saying, like, there are certain secrets that's specifically for you, for my people. I don't give those out to everybody. He didn't want, you know, to be persecuted too early by the religious establishment at that time.
in the way that he was speaking. So he kind of spoke in code.
Like discipleship, I feel like it's like parenting, mm-hmm. right? Like you showing up for these cats, you going out of your way, you're praying for them when they don't even know it. And it's, they're not always grateful for it. Sometimes they get, you know, frustrated mm-hmm. because you're challenging them mm-hmm. or you make them do whatever. But you have such a heart for people mm-hmm. that you ride it mm-hmm. anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah, really someone who's just biblically sound, mm-hmm. you can tell that their words and their deeds, they match.
Yeah.
And they have a love for people. I think, what would you say? You said, so
how did you know who to?
So it'll normally be like an unction kind of. So with you, what was funny is that I was at a conference and mm-hmm. you spoke at the conference mm-hmm. and I was listening and I was like, oh, wow. Oh.
But say what you say all the time about knowing if a person.
Oh, that's your, the bus analogy.
Yeah.
So I often say, if you come to the Lord for real mm-hmm. and you really have experienced mm-hmm. like the life altering changes mm-hmm. of like faith, it's like being hit by a bus. Right. And when somebody's talking and they say they know the Lord, you can tell if they've been hit by that same bus mm-hmm. or if they're describing the fact that they saw somebody get hit by a bus. Mm-hmm.
So
you can detect the fakes. I can't tell you how or why, but it's so different. Like mm-hmm. the detail, the way you respond, the way it motivates mm-hmm. you. It's different when you've actually been hit by the bus.
Yeah.
So you were talking and I was like, oh, this girl been hit by the bus. Like she not describing seeing somebody get hit
by
the bus.
You said she been hit by people.
She been hit by the bus. I was like, amen. Like I knew that your profession of faith was sincere. Mm. And so I was like, I'm about to pray for her.
Mm.
And so it was funny. And I never saw you again. I had no frame of reference of who you were.
That's crazy.
I was an audience.
Yeah.
You know, you were on stage. And then I got introduced to you through somebody else, mm-hmm. which was wild. So I don't mm-hmm. know if you want to go into that.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, God is just kind. He's just kind. And going through this time in my life, and Santoria knows my business. You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show. She knows my business, y'all.
Got a crash course.
She knows my business. Because I felt like I was at a place like so ready to be out of deception.
Yeah.
I was so tired of being deceived. No,
you gave that too. Yeah, you were like, what I gotta do?
I was so like, what? I told you everything.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, you were running it down.
I was like, this, here. And it was mainly, here's where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much, look at how everyone
hurt never me. That. Yeah.
But it was like, here's how I'm wrong.
Yeah. Or even, this is my struggle.
I'm struggling.
Or I'm legit frustrated with God because da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Like it was just very honest.
And I had, because I felt like I had got to a place where I just wanted to not be deceived anymore.
Yeah.
I hate, it's like when you realize that you've been deceived.
Yeah.
And you see it.
Yeah. And you're horrified by it.
I was horrified.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Like I have, and not just horrified because I know of the experience that people in my life, the things that people in my life might have experienced from me because of my brokenness, in my deception, but how much it might have grieved, or how much it did grieve God, to watch the one that He loves and He created be so deceived, and how much I thought He did not love me.
This idea of what a high value man is a big topic. And I feel like it's going to be a big conversation for a long time. But in the relationship space, what would be the proper way to define what a high value man is? And why is that such a conversation topic right now?
Mm-hmm. It's a big topic because of Kevin Samuels. And, him making it popular. And when we look at context, just like you said, the word context, when you're reading the Bible, when you look at context, if a man's focus is on himself, like he's not married and raising children with his wife, then his focus is on his net worth. Mm-hmm. His focus is on his body. Mm-hmm. His focus is on his earning potential, building business, building a brand or a company or what have you. And so in the world sense and in that terminology, high value really only meant a man who earns a lot of money, a man who earns good money. And then they can throw some other things in there, but it's not what it meant because they weren't living it. They were preaching it, but not practicing it. But a high value man, honestly, is a man who has surrendered to his creator. Because that man in that space, he is humble. He is faithful. He is committed. He is sacrificing. A man who has submitted to God, that is when he receives all his value.
Yeah.
Because in totality, the word of God makes you a complete person. It makes you a whole person. So when you remove that, and you just say, a high value man, they are gonna cheat. They're gonna have other women. You need to accept it. And that's what was being taught.
That's still being taught.
Exactly. And so they mean a man with money, a man with notoriety, a man with fame. But what is he lacking? Everything else, character, integrity, discipline. Self-love.
Which makes you more high valued because you can't put a price on it.
You can't put a price on it.
I can't put a price on your integrity. I can't put a price on your
faithfulness and commitment to God. I can't put a price on you being devoted. Like, I can't put a price on those things. And I feel like that's what makes you a high value man.
I feel like the family structure would be restored in such a real way, right? Because there are so many women that do want to just be that. I do want to be a nurse. I couldn't wait to be a mom. Right. But when I was in a position to be a stay-at-home mom and the lack of appreciation that I got, it made me want to go back to work. I dreamed about being that type of mom,
right,
that stayed home with the kids and, you know, built my family and, mm-hmm, and curated my home. But then when I got it, mm-hmm, and I was doing it and I didn't feel like it was seen as
fulfilling,
or it just wasn't taken. It wasn't respected for what it really was.
Marriage is interdependent, mm-hmm, not two independents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a hard one pill to swallow for where we are right now, because women are encouraged to be independent. They're encouraged to be bosses, and a lot of times, not only are we encouraged to, but we have no other choice, mm-hmm, but to, mm-hmm, because of the positions that we've been in, because maybe some signs that we didn't see that have left us now with the consequences of maybe lack of wisdom, maybe lack of patience, maybe lack of vision, lack of obedience. Mm-hmm. Now we're left with those consequences, and now it has thrusted us into this independence. And not only don't need a man, I don't even have time to help a man in any type of way, or, you know what I'm saying, or have the capacity for it. And I feel that way. I mean, I feel I can identify, because being on my own, it makes me have to get into a mind frame that I've never had to be in, because I was always taken care of. Like, maybe not emotionally, mentally, spiritually, but financially, I never had to worry about anything. You know what I mean? So coming into this space.
Because you left. So in essence, it's like life.
Yeah.
Showed you that you would prefer your emotional stability over financial stability.
Yeah. It is harder. But it's a different heart. It's a heart that I can steward and hold, where the other heart I could not. I personally could not. Now, there are probably tons of people that can endure mental strains and emotional strains. I just could not endure that for me. And so I could not forever.
Right.
Hey, Red, what are you up to?
Just making sure all the M&M's gifts are wrapped and the bowl is filled.
Remember that one holiday party when we had no M&M's?
Oh, boy, I still have nightmares.
The cookies?
Yeah, you used all the M&M's candies that were meant to decorate the party treats, to decorate snowmen. You did it again, didn't you?
They do look cute, though.
Bringing cheer, M&M's for all fun kind.
But interdependency is maturity, meaning knowing how to be independent, but also how to be interdependent, meaning knowing how to depend on someone who has something or brings something that you don't have or bring.
Yeah, but it's being able to identify that too, be able to identify your partner's maybe shortcomings or weaknesses and not condemning them for it, but being aware of it so that you know you're mindful how to pray for your partner. You're mindful of, you know, where their triggers might lie, because usually your triggers are where you fall short in. So maybe being aware of those things. I think we are not having the proper conversations and like the honest we're just waiting for things to happen and just responding, like reacting, mm-hmm, instead of responding to those things effectively by having conversations previous to whatever the conflict may be. Don't allow that pain or that hurt or that offense to keep you from him who loves you. And if you choose to sit in unforgiveness, whether it's towards yourself or whether it's towards a loved one, I'm telling you, you are going to keep yourself from God. You're going to keep yourself from his promises. You're going to keep yourself from that communication, him talking to you, his presence. Don't harden your heart. Release it. I'm not saying don't be mad about it. Be mad. David was pissed at a lot of things that went on. One of my favorite things to quote, David said, it's not my favorite because I agree with it, but I get it. He said, make their children fatherless. Annihilate them. That don't sound like forgiveness to me, but you need to understand who he was talking to. He wasn't talking to his homeboy. He was talking to God. The one that already knew what was in his heart, the one that already knew what was in his mind, the one that already knew how angry he was, David was talking to God. And he was vulnerable and he was real and he was raw and he was honest and he released it. He released it to God, who is the one who is in control of all things anyway. If I'm going to tell anybody all of my business, it's going to be him. Because he knows it anyway. The problem isn't, you know, holding. I'm not asking you to hold the anger in. I'm not asking you to, I'm not even asking you to be okay with what they did to you. I'm just asking you to trust God and trust what he does when you forgive. Trust it. It is a power that is, I mean, there is nothing compares to that when you release something and you release someone and you let them go and you bless them even though they curse you.
Just don't always look like preaching.
Yeah. And I think that goes for anybody who feels that they're an expert in anything that is a life experience, because I feel like everyone is going to show up in that space differently. Like I could read and plenty of women. We can read all the books about motherhood all we want. And guess what? Nothing prepares you to be a mom. I could read books about how to be a wife and nothing prepared me for that. But what I will say is that this, I don't have it, my Bible, that prepared me. If I would have read that, it probably would have prepared me more. And so for me, anybody that's saying they're an expert and they're not coming from that vantage point, for me, it's a no. Right. For me. Mm-hmm. We can give practical things all day, but there are going to be moments in your relationship that no advice, no degree, mm-hmm. no amount of hours that you've clocked in coaching anybody is going to be able to fix, you know, in someone's relationship.
Right.
Once I got into like how I was feeling, which I was feeling like that imposter syndrome. Yeah. Like, I just can't do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. Yeah. I just don't yeah. want to do this.
I think it was a combination of like, I can't and I don't want
to. I don't want to do this. Yeah. And how it came was just so, you know, devastating.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I don't want to do this. Yeah. This sucks. Yeah. Like, I don't want to do this.
Yep.
And I felt like I had to do, I felt like I was having the Garden of Gethsemane moment.
Right.
I felt like
let this cup
if
pass
this cup,
me.
Lord, if you could let this cup pass, please. Like, I just did not want to do this. Yeah. But you sat with me. And I think the biggest thing was like the fact that you sat with me.
Mm.
And like you didn't try to fix anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just sat there. Yeah. Right. And then it was, let's get into the text.
Yeah.
What does God say about this? Yeah. What is God saying to you?
Yeah.
You know, and it was a game changer. Yeah. You know, and then we were able, you know, I recorded the next day and it was good, but mm-hmm. all I'm saying is that the community that is starting to be built here has been a game changer.
Yeah.
It's been a game changer.
Yeah.
And being able to put those things in real time practice.
Yeah.
Like you giving me something and I can immediately go tell Jordan, go tell Jay.
Yeah.
Like, all right, like Samson.
Yeah.
And we're in the scripture. You know what I mean? We're in the book. Like,
oh, that's like
you
so
know what
cute.
I'm saying?
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And like, yeah. It's almost like the how people feel about going to get crab legs in hookah is kind of how I feel about getting in God's word.
Not crab legs.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, if you live in Atlanta, you know exactly what you're talking about.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. And so it doesn't always look like a sit down face to face. I forgive you, and I need this person to list out all the things that they, or I need to list out all the things that this person did to offend me and say it to their face. And sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes for me, it's just, God, you created this person, right? They hurt me. My heart is broken. They've hurt my feelings. I'm offended by this. But you created them, and you don't create bad things. And so I'm asking that you come into my heart and release me of this offense. I release them, and I give them to you. I give this offense to you. I give this situation to you. And I ask that you come into my heart and you purge me of any unforgiveness, any bitterness, any resentment. Forgiveness is so wild because it makes you look at you. It requires this self-reflection opportunity. And so for me, it's the opportunity to remember all the things that I've been forgiven of, all the things that God has forgiven me for, things seen and unseen, things in my heart that no one knew that he forgave, right? So that's just what it looks like for me. I don't know what it looks like for other people. Some people feel like you can forgive and not forget. Some people, and that's hard for me because I want to forgive and not forget, but I feel like we're called to forgive and forget, because when you really forgive, it's you're treating that person as if an offense never happened. I have to tell you that the enemy knows something that we don't know. The enemy knows that he has no power to forfeit the will of God for your life. He can't do that. He can't take anything from you. He can't do anything to you. He doesn't have the power to. But, and this was a quote from John Bevere that has rocked me, because you guys know I read The Bait of Satan, and that book rocked me. And when he said, there is no man, no woman, no child, no organization, or no demon that can forfeit God's will for your life but you. And that's what the enemy knows that we don't know. He knows how real God is. He knows how incapable of really having any power over our lives. The enemy has zero power over us. But just like I said, where this deception has started for all of us is in Genesis 3. And what does the enemy say to Eve? Did he really say, you'll die?
We're going to take a break from the episode because our friends at Frito-Lay know that joy is bold, vivacious, and contagious. Joy gives life flavor, rhythm, and vibes. And when joy takes flight, it can't be contained. It's robust, more than a smile or a laugh. It's an infectious experience. So here's to all the creators that inspire us with your creativity and passion. Let's keep filling the world with joy. And make sure you look out for My Joy campaign powered by Frito-Lay. Let's get back to the show.
Genesis 3 doesn't say that he took Eve by the neck, had a knife around her neck, and said, eat it. He just doesn't want you to know the truth. All right, guys, listen, if you've made it through this whole, it's crazy. I thought I was for sure not gonna cry, but obviously I did. If you made it through this whole episode, make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please go check it out. And listen, even if you don't like to listen to podcasts on Spotify, you don't like the audio version, you're more of a visual person, that's okay. But just go head over there and leave a comment that you liked it. It helps. Just go leave a comment, give me a rating. Like, comment, subscribe, go to my Patreon, share the content. If there's anybody in your life that's navigating a new season, a friend, a family member, a child, whoever, if they're navigating a new season and there's something in this episode that you believe is going to help them, send it to them. Share it. The best form of advertisement is word of mouth. So don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Share it. Share it. Share it. I love you guys, and I'll see you next time. Hey, you guys, before you go, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and share it with a friend or a family member. If you could do me one huge favor, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a heartfelt review. It helps others just like you discover the podcast. You guys, let's continue to spread the inspiration. For more about me and the podcast, visit www.themeganashley.com. Until next time, stay encouraged that you are so valued and so loved.